Good morning to Shai Davidi. Sir, how are you? Do we find you in Montreal this morning?
Yes, I am in Montreal after the first of the two exhibition games here.
Caught last night's game, and there was a couple cool moments. Russell Martin comes up to the fanfare that you would expect a Montrealer would come home to for his 1/2 games a year. He then loops a double into left. It looked like a single. He just legged it out. That was a pretty neat moment. And then watching Vladdy Jr. in his old man's number, wow.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll just start with Russ there. And, you know, he was joking afterwards that he was so pumped up by the crowd and he wanted to get them on their feet that he decided to take a chance and hustle that single into a double, which is something that he may or may not have done during the regular season. But it was really cool to watch the ovation for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And just, you know, there's a famous photo from the end of the 2002 season of young Vladdy Jr. on the field with his dad, dressed, decked out in full Expos gear, tipping his hat to the crowd, right, just as his dad is doing the same thing. And there he is, you know, 16 years later on that same field at third base, wearing 27. And the fans here had a great connection to Vladdy. He's the last of the great Expos. They really ate it up.
Only 27,000 there, and that sounds like a slight. It shouldn't be. That's a great number for an exhibition game of baseball. Yet, we've been spoiled in Montreal and watching crowds around 50,000. What's different this year, aside from the dates, or is that a huge part of it?
I think that's a huge, huge part of it because, you know, I was talking to some fans earlier in the day, and you know, they said, I talked to some that had made the drive in from the Maritimes and some others who made the drive in from Toronto, but they said that there was a lot of reluctance because it's the middle of the week. They got to take work off. If you're going to really get after it and have fun in Montreal, you don't want to be dragging your heels back to Toronto on Wednesday. It's harder to take kids down and pull them out of school. So there are a lot of different factors really sort of deterring people from coming outside the city. And then, you know, they went up against a Montreal Canadiens game last night as well. So you really had a bunch of things playing against it. I think the fact that the Jays are coming off a bad season is a factor. The fact that they didn't have a huge off season that, you know, casual baseball fans would recognize as being a good one. That plays into it. So you put a lot of stuff into the blender there, and you end up with a smaller crowd.
Is that going to be how it's going to go moving forward? It sounds like with some of the new things that Major League Baseball has agreed to, it might be tougher to get weekends, or is that just the way the dates fell this year?
Well, it's just, I think the plan right now is to sort of open up on that first weekend or, you know, start on the Thursday, the Friday, and then get going from there. And so, you know, the Blue Jays aren't going to go play a couple games on the weekend and then not have anything to do for 3-4 days afterwards.
Right.
They certainly don't want to come north, go back south, and then go north again. So, you know, there's one more year in the agreement between the Blue Jays and the local promoter here, Evenco, that puts on the games. And, I wonder if this is going to be something that will just expire next year and not be renewed.
The other question about it would be, you know, this is the only year, I shouldn't say it's the only year. This tends to be the season and the time of year where you have Montreal rumors about a friend. Well, there's none of that this year. Even a year ago, we somehow had convinced ourselves that some poor billionaires in Quebec wanted to waste $2 to $3 billion to not make money on a major league franchise, or at least to struggle to. I always struggled with that, but it was a conveniently timed rumor every year, it seemed like.
Yeah, for sure. And look, there's still a lot of work that's happening behind the scenes, but nothing's going to move until the Rays and the Athletics have their stadium situations figured out, either that they're staying put or they're moving onwards. The Major League Baseball certainly isn't going to expand while they have uncertainty in a pair of markets. And then further to that, there was a change in mayor here in Montreal, I believe it was last November. From Denny Cordero was very much behind efforts to bring baseball back to Montreal to Valerie Plante, who's much more cautious in the commitment of public funds to the endeavor. So that plays against it. And ultimately, the big thing that has to come together is some sort of stadium plan. Is, you know, when I asked Commissioner Rob Manfred about it in November, he's pretty clear. He's like, we're not going back to Olympic Stadium. They don't need to have shovels in the ground, but there has to at least be some sort of concrete plan for a new venue, and that's not moving at all.
Yeah, and you know what? Different sports, and I hate the sport-to-sport analogy, but just to get a building doesn't guarantee anything. I think the NHL quite likes having an empty venue in Quebec City because it applies pressure in markets that are trying to keep teams. It doesn't mean Quebec City's ever going to get a team.
Yeah, and Kansas City as well. It's not always build it in and they will come, and that's where cities certainly have to be cautious. Although, to be fair, I do like that Rob Manfred has said, look, I'm not asking you to actually start building one until without a commitment, but you have to have the plan and the funding locked in so that if the team does get there, then the work can begin.
All right, so what is left to decide in terms of battles moving towards Toronto? I saw Santos didn't go to he was assigned yesterday, or at least sent to a minor league camp, and it was like, okay, well, that probably settles up the seven in the bullpen, does it not?
Well, there's Tim Mesa is still around, and the Blue Jays haven't made a call on him. Really, decisions right now rest on what the Blue Jays are going to do on the 40-man roster. They're going to have to clear three spots to add John Axford and Tyler Clipper to the bullpen and Danny Espinosa to the bench as the utility guy. So the Blue Jays are going to have some maneuverings there to free up three spots on the 40. And once they do, everything else will fall into place. So I think the decisions are made. It's just the juggling of how to get those guys on the 40-man roster that still need to be finalized.
There is a thought that Gift and Gopé would be battling Espinosa for that. Is that game over already? Espinosa seemed to look all right yesterday. He does have a little more pop. He's a switch hitter.
Yeah, he's more of a defender than anything else, and he's got an option left, so the Blue Jays can certainly maintain the depth, have him open up a AAA, and then go with go with Espinosa, the veteran who is a pretty solid defender too. Maybe not quite as terrific as Gift and Gopé, but he's certainly brings a lot more with the bat, which isn't necessarily that much, but he's got some pop. He can run into one, and he can hit into some situations with a big league track record. So I think that's the calculus where it ended up there. Now it's just getting him on the 40-man roster.
So who are the likely Sias on the 40-man? Because that's you noted this is the game of chess. Do you have any bold guesses for us here?
Well, I'm wondering, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'm wondering if at this point the Blue Jays might be able to put Troy Tulowitzki on the 60-day DL and start him there, which would be very disappointing for him and for the team. It would mean he wouldn't be able to be back until June at the earliest. But that's one way to clear a 40-man spot. And then, I think the Blue Jays do have some depth in the outfield. I wonder if they'll look to maybe do something with Dalton Pompey, who, has been fighting a wrist injury. He could end up on the 60 as well. Or maybe they think about trading him and giving him a fresh start. Dwight Smith Jr., someone who might be in a tougher spot to hang on his spot on the 40. So I think the Blue Jays are in a situation where they're probably going to have to give away someone who they like to some degree or risk losing someone that they like to some degree, which means the organization is in a better situation.
Boy, there's a lot of kids in the outfield all of a sudden. They really like this Roman Fields that has had quite the spring. He's got some speed. He can play defense. And Pompey looked like he was the guy, standing at third with a chance to tie the game six in Kansas City. And that seems like ages ago now. It looked like he was a no doubt soon to be, outfielder of the future.
Right. I mean, there's still a ton of talent there, but he just hasn't been able to stay on the field. It's been incredibly disappointing to him as, his career has stalled. The talent is still there to be a very dynamic big league player, but the reps and the development have stopped just because he hasn't been able to play. Couple concussions, knee issues. He's dealing with a wrist problem this spring. It's just been one thing after another for him. I think the Blue Jays would like to find a way to keep him around. I think that be sort of the last resort to move on from him. But it certainly hasn't turned out the way a lot of people figured it was going to.
The bullpen's interesting because they've gone and got three guys that have been quite good in their careers but are coming off bad years in Axford, Clippard, What if those guys aren't what they were for most of their career, but they're more of what they were last year? Are we just quickly going to see guys from AAA come up like Santos and Meza and others, or is it going to be difficult to give up on guys because they're vets? I wonder.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a great question, and if they revert back to the struggles that they've had, then you know that would be very bad for the Blue Jays. I mean, they do have some depth. I think those guys do get some rope, particularly O, who they really believe in him, and even last year when he didn't have, you know, as dominant a season as he did back in 16, there's still a lot to like. There's still a lot of swing and miss in that game. So I think he gets a lot of rope. You know, John Axford has been, he's a different pitcher. He's you know, more cut sink as opposed to traditional four-seam curveball the way he was earlier in his career. And the velocity has just been off the charts. 2 days ago in Dunedin, he was 96-97 for an inning at third in the strike zone, just overpowering guys. You know, the Blue Jays were of the mind, hey, dude, stay right there, because that's what they need. You know, Tyler Clifford's made a bit of an adjustment with his arm slot that he thinks has been important. It was actually something he started last year, towards the end of last season, with the Houston Astros, and has been able to maintain so far this spring. So there's reason to believe that it's not just, you know, spring training fantasy. Ultimately, we'll find out. The Blue Jays do have some depth of young arms that they can turn to, but they're hoping not to need to.
Yeah, fair enough. And, you know, I do like the, it sounds like I'm being negative, but I think to go out and get guys that have been quite good over their careers and are just having bad 2017s, I mean, it's a nice gamble to play. It worked out well with Joe Smith last year. And these guys, you could argue, probably had more of a profile than Smith did a year ago, I suppose. Any other questions looming as we head to Toronto on Thursday for the season opener against the Yankees? It seems like they want speed between Smoke and Morales. And I guess Granderson's going to lead off unless he cools off or it's a lefty on the bump. Are those accurate statements?
Yeah, more or less. I think that's the plan at this point. It'd be Devin Travis against lefties and Curtis Granderson against righties, at least out of the gate. And that's going to be interesting. And you're right, they have tried to split the plotting base running of Justin Smoke and Kendrys Morales with Randall Grichuk, which is going to be interesting to see play out. You know, I think the ultimate question right now is, you know, is this team going to score enough? I think everyone's reasonably confident in the pitching staff from one on down to 12 in the bullpen. But did they do enough to a lineup that scored the fewest runs in the American League last year? And, you know, I think Solarte helps. Grichuk should help. Diaz should help. But, you know, there were still a lot of holes in that lineup, and the Blue Jays are going to need more out of Kendrys Morales. They're going to need more out of Russell Martin. They're going to need Justin Smoke to repeat. They're going to need Kevin Pillar to not be, a one-month mirage and then a, you know, three-month black hole. So that to me is the overriding question. Will they have enough offense? Because the American League East just got a tougher off from an offensive perspective, with the Yankees getting Stanton and the Red Sox getting J.D. Martinez.
Boy, you know what? Like, I'm with you, and I see the numbers that FanGraphs have out there projecting them to 85 wins, 86, up to 87, back down to 86 as these rosters get tinkered. I just look at this line. There is a whole lot of swing and miss. There's a whole lot of having a tough time get on base. Like, if Justin Smoke is any Justin Smoke except 2017 Justin Smoke, that's trouble. Randall Grichuk already strikes out a ton. Kendrys Morales can't get on base unless it's hammered through the infield or over a wall. He's not quick. He had a tough time getting on. Martin had a very unspectacular season offensively, and Pillar can't take a walk or couldn't outside of April last year. That really could be a miserable lineup if all those guys, you know, continue to struggle to get on. There's not a lot of, well, I'll just, you know, take four pitches and get on and we move the line. I don't see that here.
Yeah, and to me, almost as critical as that is, you know, are they going to get enough on base out of the leadoff spot to give them a chance to fully leverage those Josh Donaldson and Justin Smoke at bats? You know, it's, you want, those guys need to hit with on base. because otherwise you're not getting the most out of their production. And that didn't happen nearly as frequent enough as it needed to last year, and it may not happen this year. So that's among the areas of concern. This lineup will for sure be a work in progress along the way. And we'll see ultimately whether or not they can get production. And it may very well be that they're going to need a shot in the arm from Teoscar Hernandez or Anthony Alford or Lourdes Gurriel or someone else from the system if they're going to get to where they want to go.
Finally, just announced about half an hour ago, Ben Wagner will be the new radio voice of the Toronto Blue Jays on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Dan Shulman will spend some time in the radio booth as well, which is fantastic and incredibly interesting as a guy we've heard on the TV broadcast the last couple of years. And Mike Wilner stays on as a wonderful host of Blue Jays Talk and a guy that will step in and do some time behind the mic. Just thoughts on the new crew here with Jerry Haworth calling it quits, I want to say mid-February.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, you can't replace Jerry Haworth. And he's a legend, and rightfully so, in the broadcasting ranks. But, you know, Dan Shulman is, in my opinion, and I think one lots of people share, the best broadcaster in baseball today. So any chance to hear more of Danny is a good thing for any baseball fan. And people don't know Ben Wagner, but I've known him for a while, and he's also a terrific broadcaster. I think they're really going to enjoy the way he calls a game. They're going to get to know him. They're going to get to enjoy him. And he's going to do a great job. And, you know, Mike Wilner, he takes a lot of grief from people, but he's one of the best baseball people I know. So it's a great team. They're great people, and I think fans are going to really enjoy them.
Great stuff. We look forward to more of your writing on Sportsnet.ca, not to mention the appearances on camera. And get geared up, man. 162, and it all starts Thursday.
Yeah, it feels like it's already here. So it'll be nice to actually watch some games that count.
Yeah, where the vets stay in after more than like five innings, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Good stuff. Thank you, Shai. Appreciate it.
Yeah, take care, Ryan. See ya.
There's Shai Davidi.